Welcome to the Bikers Podcast. My name is Teemu Arina. Today, I'm interviewing Warren Phillips, who is an expert on non-toxic living. Warren, what got you started with this path? What got you interested in
living a non-toxic life?
I'll give you the short version. You kind of know the long version. But just like anything else, when you have pain and tragedy in your life, it makes you take two paths. One that's you feel bad for yourself. And the other one is like, what the frick is wrong with me? Either I gotta off myself, which was one of my thoughts, or get healthy. My background is in toxicology and chemistry. I wound up getting my master's in that, studying the environmental impacts of heavy metals on human health and the environment, we say here in the US, and started with an environmental consulting company where we cleaned up US Forest Service, turn of the century abandoned mines that were contaminating streams and impacting fish and some humans, not very much, because we were way back in the woods. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers oversaw that. I worked with Montana Bureau of Mines and Geology, these state and government agencies, essentially cleaning up the environment, living my dream. But after a while, specifically after a mercuric oxide cleanup, believe it or not, we used to coat grains with mercury dust, red mercury dust, very similar to a red tattoo. And, you know, mercury kills everything, fungus, mold. If a rat eats it or a mouse, they die. It's great. Get bigger crop yields. Again, it's money. Right after that cleanup, I really started getting some of these nasty symptoms to the point where I couldn't work anymore. My parents, coming from no education, my dad didn't even finish high school. I grew up in a trailer. We weren't very educated and we lived in the country. And they're like, come home, honey, you're just stressed, right? And you'll feel better. So I sold my perfect life that I had really had going. There was no other stressors in my life. That was the confusing part. My spiritual life was strong at the time. I had great friendships, great community. I loved nature. I was out and about living the Montana dream, you know, the country boy Montana dream, fishing and fly fishing and all that fun stuff. And I left that in hopes of getting well, leaving all the stress of work, which wasn't, I loved my job, but whatever. Listened to my parents, moved into their moldy basement, got sicker. Mycotoxin exposure now, because living at a bottom of hell, that's what it felt like. Living at a bottom of a hill, you get that hydrologic pressure and water kind of seeps in. It might not see the water, but creates 50% humidity. Anytime you're in an environment that's 50% plus, I'm sure there's some mold experts that have spoken on this podcast before, you create mold, produces biotoxic war, biotoxin, mycotoxins, and those wreak havoc on your body, your cells. So does the mercury and heavy metals. Combine that to the point where I was so sick and so much chronic pain, 210 pounds, would wear a donut around my neck just because I couldn't move my neck. Everything was just full of pain. Couldn't enjoy nature. Like I told you, that I was so sound sensitive, even leaves moving across the ground in the fall would send me into anxiety. So at a really bad place. And luckily, in my gut, I kind of knew it was toxins, but someone reminded me, it's like, look, you cleaned up hazardous waste for a living. You poisoned yourself. You're sick. These are neurological symptoms. Here, read this paper, right? Talking about mercury poisoning. Talking about amalgam fillings. I mean, what do you mean amalgam fillings? They're safe. They're banned in Finland, of course, but they're not banned here in the United States, which is crazy. So anyway, read that, saw some of the symptoms, started doing some of the testing, started detoxing, changing my diet, removing the sources of toxins in my life, moving out of my parents' basement, moving into no mold, but with VOCs, still sick, not sleeping, you know, and just going through the whole process of learning and growing. Just like biohacking your life, right? You can find the things that are moving the needle, bringing you closer to health, closer to God, closer to nature, and the things that are pulling you away from your health, away from God, away from nature. So I start making those choices. So I was forced into this. Now, fast forward, after teaching doctors for 18 years and functional medicine training, coaching, and blogs, and doing all kinds of entrepreneurial stuff to spread this message and to create change in the world, I was challenged many years ago, someone said, you should start Warren Approved or something like that because you're so anal about what you put in your body out of necessity. I was at a seminar and someone said, Warren, you know, just try it and see. Because I had this thing in my heart to do something like this for education. So I did it. A year ago, I started Non-Toxic Dad right around in March of last year. And I just started sharing my non-toxic living hacks that I use and trying and doing an entertaining, fun way. So it's not fear-mongering, science-based, and even creating a science database for all of this information, because toxins trigger all kinds of things: aging, cellular dysfunction, brain fog, like all the symptoms that we have. I think from a biohacking standpoint, and what I appreciate from our short conversation with you, is that you care about the science, not about the buzz, not about the tech, but you care about the science and really what can help your life connect back to nature. And it's not necessarily an outside approach, right? It's not more peptides or more stem cells. It's like, hey, if you remove some toxins, you're going to have better stem cell production. If you remove some toxins, you're not going to create as many senescent cells. Literature's very clear on that. Educated audience, it's called gerontogens. Gerontogens, the term for aging that's created in your body by environmental toxins. And the chief of which of aging that happens and it causes the zombie cells, the cellular senescence, is heavy metals. It's the chief of all the toxins. Anyway, that's the long, powerful, hopefully, for your audience version of my story and why we're here today.
Thank you. That's wonderful. You started your journey getting exposed to mercury, heavy metals, in a kind of human-made disaster, also exposing yourself to mold in a toxic home. What is quite interesting about nature is that if you go to any forest, you actually get exposed to a lot of different molds. You're breathing in the microbiome of the forest. And why are you not getting a reaction in a forest is because it's in a more balanced ecosystem. There is no one species that is dominating that ecosystem, and it's kind of a self-regulating system. But in a home where we use a lot of cleaning agents, and you spoke about humidity, ventilation could be another thing, materials used could be one thing, which is a big deal, of course, if your home is the insulation materials or whatever doesn't allow the building to breathe, it will create conditions for it. And then opportunistic pathogens, they can proliferate in an environment. The ones who kind of are very resistant and capable can escape and proliferate in an environment like that. And then the dosage that you are getting is sensitizing your immune system, right? One of the reasons why we are also easily getting allergies and sensitivities is because we are not exposed to the natural diversity of microbes in our immediate environment. Can you talk about that a little bit? I believe you have looked very deeply into homes and the standard of living and all of that, that kind of creates the conditions in which these exposures and increased sensitivity proliferates.
You said it really well. I mean, you went over why this happens and the nature connection. I love that. I think medicine and the biggest movement today is getting back to nature. Finally, like the crunchy movement is alive here in America. You guys already kind of do it, but we've gotten so disconnected from nature. It's gross. And we have these cookie cutter houses, right? With toxic materials and VOCs, and only the bad molds can grow in the dark. And the environmental movement, where in Europe and even Canada, the homes have to breathe and have to exchange air. Not here. We build them airtight, give them some certification, R value for insulation and toxic insulation. A lot of times it's moving, we're getting formaldehyde out of insulation. We've made enough people sick that we're moving things along a little bit, but the US standards just aren't really there when it comes to cookie cutter homes and their breeding grounds for the toxic mold. So the ones that cause natural diversity, you're right, it's good for us. It's part of the microbiome of our lungs, the microbiome of our skin, and all of that. We're supposed to be rolling around in dirt, and certain microbes, you got to be eating dirt, should be eating dirt daily, because they're transient microbes, and we're slathering things with and destroying the microbiome of our home, and it's nasty. We could go on and on, you know, on that area. But so with mold in particular, you get these molds, humidity, a water leak that's slowly dripping, and now you have humidity, then you have food and junky drywall, not plaster, that it's just pure food for black mold. It's growing behind your wall. You don't know it. And you start getting sick. Your kids are coughing at first and they're getting allergies. And then that moves into behavioral changes and immune problems and autoimmune. And the mom now has a thyroid condition. That happens a lot because of the mycotoxins are highly pro-inflammatory. They trigger the complement immune system in your body. You can measure it. Richie Shoemaker's work, I'm sure you heard of him, C4A. And I don't want to get into all the sciencey stuff. I know that from the doctor education side, but really we want to talk about the practical side. It's just, for me, it's another insult. The big ones, heavy metals, mercury. These are some of the nastiest toxins, and they're either in our bodies in the form of silver amalgam fillings. I think it's like 70% of homes have mold, especially in the U.S., and we're not exchanging our air so that we're building up not only the mycotoxins, we're locking in volatile organic compounds because of the nasty toxic paints we're using with chemicals so they dry fast, so that we can put houses up faster, so that we can put on that second coat. It's just this modern convenience, this speed to market, this getting it and disconnecting with nature and trying to overrun nature and thinking it's okay, because not to slam our belief structure, but a little bit that we dominate nature because Jesus is coming back, because it's a Judeo-Christian society and Jesus is coming back anyway and the world's is going to hell in a handbasket. That's not real spirituality. That's not real belief. That's a story that we've told ourselves so that we can make poor decisions and an excuse to not to do the right thing, right? I love this saying. It's either we focus on the solution or make an excuse to fail. So you truly have to either make a decision that is going to move you forward with your health and with your life, or we're going to make an excuse that's going to take us further away from it. And so we've created a system of excuses. You know, I don't have enough money, like all these things to live a healthy lifestyle. So we take the medication, we can't afford organic food. Or meanwhile, just 50 years ago, 70% of our food was grown in our backyards. So it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go back to the toxic home. You mentioned paints and all of that. We have all kinds of invisible sources of not just mold, but other toxic chemicals lurking in our environment. You have volatile organic compounds that are secreted into the air by different kind of fire protectant that are sprayed everywhere on furniture. New furniture smell is probably the most toxic thing ever. And then, of course, all the cleaning agents that we then use elsewhere. And you mentioned paints as well. And those are slowly releasing a lot of those volatile organic compounds into the air, and benzenes and all kinds of formaldehyde and other things. And these can be measured with different technologies to figure out the air quality. And in terms of what could help us to clean or keep the air clean, some specific plants are capable of binding or recycling these volatile organic compounds from air. I use air filtration technologies that use the root system of plants to filter out air. There's a Finnish company called Nava that basically they build a solution which is a kind of a vertical farming wall of plants where the root systems of the plants, which is doing the filtration of all those volatile organic compounds and so on. Some plants are better than others. NASA did a famous study that has been shared everywhere about these kind of plants. But most people don't have enough plants in their environment to help regulate things like that. Of course, you can have a HEPA filter or something like this and a carbon filter, but they are not necessarily very effective on certain things.
It's too much, right? The carbon can only bind so much, you know, has so much surface area. And between your furniture, the press board, MDF for your cabinets, the toxic fragrances that you're spraying, the perfumes, which are volatile organic compounds as well, you know, all the plastics, your yoga mat. I just read a study on yoga mats putting out phthalates, which is a semi-volatile organic compound. There's volatile like benzene, toluene, those lighter hydrocarbons, they call them. Then the semi-heavy ones would be the flame retardants and the phthalates, which is, talk about biohacking your body, right? If you're breathing phthalates, why would you take a peptide to increase your testosterone, which may or may not be great for longevity, especially on how you use it and how often, but you have a phthalate yoga mat and just keep going with in your car, tons of phthalates. And you have your brand new electric car and it's full of flame retardants and it's just destroying your hormonal system. But we're biohacking our life. We're doing these things and there's nothing wrong. I love the biohacking movement. I mean, I do my things. Trust me, I do. I don't speak as an expert on it, but my niche is definitely what can we do naturally to biohack our body? What can we remove so that our body, which is teeming with life, it's just teeming with potential, both mentally, spiritually, with connection. There's something special about being human, but we're no more special than that tree if we're out of alignment with it. And so these toxic chemicals in our homes, they can be over time, you can remove them. So remove all the plastics, get a natural rubber yoga mat. And again, I feel funny talking to you because in Europe and in Finland, they just don't allow this shit, right? You just don't allow it. The VOCs in your paint have a standard. There's an EU standard. I mean, it's not the best, but it's way better than our standard Sherwin-Williams. It's funny that we sacrifice health for growth. We sacrifice health for finance. We sacrifice health for speed to market. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And if you do things the right way, they cost more, they take time, a little bit slower, but the value, the unintended consequences of not doing it right leads to the disease disaster that we have, lowered immunity, obesity, all this stuff is skyrocketing despite keto, despite every diet out there, calorie restrictions, fasting, intermittent fasting, all these programs, all these entrepreneurs creating programs and platforms for health experts to bring this information to the world, and it's flooding the market, yet obesity is still skyrocketing. And it's a shame, because if we got back to nature, even 50 years ago, when we came from Europe into the US and how we lived their lives and the traditions that we had, how we raised our children, we forgot it all. And we're taking a playbook that really leads you to a very, very sick, low energy, low frequency life that's really not life at all. We become cogs in a wheel of something that's not bringing us closer to God. It's not bringing us closer to each other.
I have a natural rubber yoga mat and a yoga blocks made out of cork. I'm sorted on that front, but it's so important. I also use water filtration, shower filter. Some people ask, why shower filter? Like, you're not drinking it. But actually, there is something called radon, which is a radioactive material that in some areas of the world, especially around here, by the way, it actually evaporates from water fairly quickly. The tap water is not that much of a big of a problem when it comes to radon exposure. But basically, in a shower, you're in a humid container, breathing in all of that stuff coming in. I use a shower filter. What else can you do than changing your furniture, getting rid of the plastic, filtering water, air, bringing in plants, making sure your ventilation works, and maybe using more natural paints if that's needed, or natural materials in general? Like, what can you do to reduce your exposure to these things? Because biohacking can be defined also as optimizing the environment, not just inside, but outside of you. And what we are talking about is optimizing the environment outside of you so that you can live healthier
and happier and longer life.
The place to start, and where I started, was in your bedroom, because you're trying to biohack your sleep with circadian rhythms and grounding and like all these different strategies that we use in the biohacking world. The thing that has helped me the most, and Europe has a different frequency than the electric here, and there's science on this, some good science. No one wants to believe it when you talk about it on social media, but it affects it. I think it does a lot more, these electric fields and magnetic fields, especially when you're sleeping, you're spending 8-10 hours in there. You're probably not watching 2 hours of TV before you go to bed, but most people are. And then they're sleeping poor, and maybe they're getting 6 hours, and they're laying in their bed on their phone for another hour. So you're in your bedroom 8 to 10 hours, and you're exposing yourself, especially when you're sleeping and your bed's next to an outlet, your phone's charging next to you, you're putting out these electric fields. And if you don't have good sleep hygiene from an electric and magnetic field standpoint, the research shows it'll slowly dysregulate your melatonin levels. Probably has something to do with, you know, the pituitary hypothalamus, some hormone resistance, some one of those pathways are being thrown off. There's really no solid research of why, but they see lower melatonin levels and they see poor sleep. And more extreme examples, like someone who's working around these fields. And for me, once I got a switch, and you can go to your, if you have a smaller home, it's better. You can literally just turn off the electricity in your room. You can buy one of those cheap meters and check for the electric field, the magnetic field. And don't quote me on the numbers. I'm not a building biologist. I'm going to get educated on it. But just say if it's 0.5 or less, milligals or whatever the meter is, you want to get that to 0.5 or less for both electric fields and magnetic fields. For children, you probably want your electric fields 0.2 or less. But now there's not this bad energy, not like going into the forest energy. It's not like hugging a tree energy. This is foreign energy to your body that's causing hormone disruption, melatonin disruption. And at the time, your body's looking for the right frequencies to heal. We're used to sleeping on the ground, connected to earth, and now we're not. We're on these beds that are elevated with a bunch of rubber, and we're not connected. Hopefully it's organic rubber. So that would be another one, is changing your bed. But I think this is not the viral topic. It's not the cool thing to talk about yet. People still don't really tap into this, but I think your community would really understand if you can shut the electric completely off in your room and create an 8-foot bubble around your bed, you will notice a massive difference in your sleep. because of heavy metals, because of the hypothalamus, pituitary, mercury just wrecks that. The hormone disruption that happens to a heavy metal poisoned human is, it takes a decade to kind of rewire all that. And so I'm a case of someone who's always struggled with their sleep. And one of the final things that helped me is the electric and magnetic hygiene, magnetic fields, electric fields in my bedroom. I'm no longer taking supplements to knock myself out. I'm no longer downing 150 milligrams of CBD to knock me out because I could not sleep. I'd wake up, I can't get back to sleep. That's a melatonin issue. Obviously, cutting down my amount of caffeine. There's all the biohacks, when you drink caffeine, when you don't, how it helps, how it doesn't. I'm not an expert there. I listen to experts on that stuff and do what they say, but I haven't truly deep dived onto some of that. Too much caffeine can lower your melatonin levels as well. But now I don't want to do a melatonin suppository or take a melatonin. It can mess you up. It's better that your body does it naturally. What's causing my melatonin to be low? Too much caffeine and these electric fields. If you shuttle off and have that quiet space, great hygiene, and then grounding, this will be a good one for the biohacking community. If you ground in a bad, a dirty electric field. So you have your phone next to you, you have an electrical outlet and it's still on and you're grounding. The electrical engineers, some will agree with me, some will disagree, but they can't disagree with the fact that electric fields, you're grounded. Your wall outlet, it doesn't come out far. If you could see it, it goes out about 7 feet. It's really pretty toxic right around a foot where there's pretty high levels. So just imagine this invisible electric round X-Men type field coming out from around this outlet or from your phone, and you can measure it with a meter, it's going to find you and it's going to load up this battery of a human where these electrical beings with a charge that you don't want. That's why you need to go and ground and get rid of that, get connected and get the electrons from Earth. That messes with you as well. It's right. It oxidizes your cells. It oxidizes your body. So there's all these health benefits, and that's, I think, a neat one that you can do is, and we don't think about, yes, get rid of your mattress, make it organic, get organic sheets that aren't full of pesticides. If you're going to do bamboo, make sure you get the right kind of bamboo that's not processed with toxic chemicals. So you have to get the organic one. I don't know if it's Lyocell. There's different forms. So all those fun little non-toxic hats, you can go to my Instagram page for that. But this one, I think from a biohacker standpoint, is something you can geek out on and do and really get some deep restorative sleep. And you're no longer getting these positive toxic frequency electrons smashing your body when you're trying to heal and restore.
Right. So we're talking about detoxing yourself of not just chemicals, but electromagnetic fields that we actually discussed that in our previous podcast. So someone who's interested in the topic can go in there and see what to trust also in that field, because there's a lot of products out there that do absolutely nothing or actually even the opposite when it comes to EMF protection. But basically cleaning up your bedroom.
Turn off your Wi-Fi.
Don't bring any electronic appliances in your room. When it comes to your phone, many people wake up with their phone. It's the last thing they go to sleep with. So better turn the bedroom into a sleep sanctuary where you go to sleep and have that restorative time. And check with an EMF meter that there's no converters behind the wall of your head, for example, which can be a unlucky situation. Take your bed away from the wall and also make sure filtration is good and air quality is good, maybe even lower temperature. And what I've done is actually, if I'm considering where would I put, if I had an air filter, I think the best place to put it is actually in bedroom, because that's where you're going to spend anyway 8 hours. If you have one room where you need to put it, the bedroom is a pretty good choice. Most likely you're moving around the rest of the day. That's probably one of the best things I've done to my bedroom, is to filter the air and make sure it's well ventilated. That's also another thing. It also depends a little bit of the city you are in and part of the world. In some cities, the outdoor air is of poor quality than indoors. Somewhere the indoors air quality is poorer than outdoors. I live in Finland and we have the purest air in the world. It's pretty good. Often actually indoor air is poorer quality than outdoor. So ventilation by opening up windows, all of that is important. While in some cities, let's say you live in India or something, probably indoor air, if it goes through filters, is going to be higher quality than outdoors, which the small particles is a huge issue. The 2.5 nanometer particles, when they go to the lungs, they can enter the bloodstream. And based on studies, they contribute to all-cause mortality, independent of all other factors. anything from heart disease to respiratory issues and all of that. There's all these invisible things that you can't see. You can't see volatile organic compounds. You can't see formaldehydes. You can't see these super tiny particles. You can't see the electromagnetic fields. It's about awareness of becoming aware of these toxic sources in the immediate environment and where you spend your time and how to relate to it. Now, I would want to touch a little bit base of the sources of where all the toxins come into our lives, because you have worked on cleaning the environment and you have a degree on that side. If we think of our rivers, oceans would supply rain water, what are the sources? How are these things entering our lives? Because I have a pretty popular friend in Finland who speaks about this non-toxic aspect and has been avoiding all kinds of exposures to chemicals and doesn't use plastic and all that. When she goes shopping, she doesn't handle the receipts that also leak hormone disruptors, doesn't use canned food. She's done everything right. And when a journalist made a story, they wanted to measure her blood values on exposure to these chemicals, and they were still found in her and also the children. How on earth do these things get into us, even if we eat organic food and we are doing our best to avoid them?
I have these five pillars, and I took them from my environmental background and environmental exposures. We had the first one would be ingestion, second one would be inhalation, absorption, which would be your skin and your eyes. And then I added on the kind of the new ones like toxic energy and toxic mindset. So we'll focus on those three first pillars. So if you look at ingestion, where are we ingesting? No matter where you live, there's a toxic cloud of microplastics from tire dust to the clothing and the air vents and these nano, and they just break down smaller and smaller. You can't see them. So we have microplastics. Even in Finland, you're probably still breathing, say, one credit card of microplastics a month. And in the US, we're doing two or three. We're breathing because you get them from everywhere.
I think clothing is a huge source. If you don't take care of having good quality clothing, it's very often with plastics in it and microplastics. In clothing industry is a huge, and that's also a source of a lot of dust in your home is actually coming from your clothes.
Let me go there real quick, because we're talking about testosterone. There was a study done in 1992, I believe, where the intention was population control with using contraceptives. And the thesis was, well, we have lots of these for women. We don't have anything for men. So let's test polyester sleeves, little bikinis on men, and then natural fibers, and see if it causes infertility. And in fact, 100% of the time it did. And it was not only the temperature, because your boys get hot, sperm count goes down, but it was the electrostatic charge from rubbing on these non-native materials. And of course, cotton and wool and all that's fine, didn't cause it. But with polyester, 100% infertility. They did a similar study on dogs with female and male dogs using natural materials versus plastic underwear. 100% infertility once again in the male dogs, 100% infertility once again in the female dogs. Very, very powerful. Again, doesn't get much traction on social media. To me, that's just mind-blowing. But I think from a biohacker standpoint, you may be still wearing polyester underwear. That's going to throw off all kinds of things in your body. The electrostatic charge, it's dead versus from the earth, it's alive. It has good frequency for your body. I just kind of wanted to go there. I think that's a great tip for your audience. And there's some great science of how it disrupts your hormones. And we're always trying to optimize, at least in America, the biohacking community is testosterone, growth hormone. We want to look better and feel better. And you said the vibe's a little different there, but I think that naturally, if you're wearing plastic, it's not, again, is it bringing me closer to nature or further away from nature? We have a saying in our home, is this decision, how I'm disciplining my children, what I'm watching, what I'm eating, is it taking me closer to God, nature, or further away? I can go through all these pillars, but that's been something in my decision-making day by day. Is this LED light getting me closer to nature and God or further away? Well, it's flickering. It's causing bad frequencies, bad connection. Ultimately, that's taking me further away. So let's cut that out of my life. Do I make exceptions? Right now, I have an LED light because I'm trying to have a nice podcast. But I also have a red light right here that's a bulb, which is better than an LED, much better, that mimics natural light. And it can kind of cancel out some of the bad frequencies. So that's a biohack. But anyways, we look at toxic ingestion and toxic inhalation and toxic absorption. No matter where you live, you're inhaling toxins. It's impossible, even with the best air quality in the world. What we need to do is just slowly listen to podcasts like this, go to seminars like yours, listen to good, credible humans. And you can tell by nonverbals if their mindset is right, if they're out for an agenda, or they're actually out to educate and help. You can figure that out pretty quickly by watching someone, watching their daily life. I live what I preach. I don't do everything perfectly, and I'm still learning on a day-to-day basis. We were still using some, this would be toxic ingestion. We were still using silicone freaking little cupcake things because silicone is supposedly non-toxic. It's inert. It's not. It's not inert. It's not silica. It's not glass. It is a chemical. And when you heat it up above 300 degrees, you're putting out heavily carcinogenic and toxic siloxanes. And no one liked that, but that one went viral. So that was good. We were still had some. So now we went and bought stoneware. We had a lot of stoneware before that. Now we're using stone to make our muffins. That was a hard choice. It's a lot easier just to pop out a muffin for the kids, but we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it right. These are just little tiny biohacks you can do. And usually it's so simple. It comes back to, is this natural? Is it from nature? Is it siloxane too good to be true? You know, item. A lot of the times I think we're fooled by the green movement. We're believing that this is safe and it's not. Even your friend, even me, we're still making mistakes and we don't realize it. If you're in a plane, you're getting tons of exposure to flame retardants because they're required to go in and just spray that stuff because it has to pass this match test. There's some standard I should remember because we did that back in the day when I was an environmental consultant, but those things are slathered. So there's no avoiding a lot of these toxins, but you need to be aware of them.
And you spoke about the kitchenware. You have these BPA-free products, and it actually is interesting that a lot of BPA-free, supposedly non-toxic plastic containers, they can still leak all kinds of crap out. And it's actually very hard to avoid that happening. Yeah, glass or stainless steel is what to go for. And of course, then there's all the Teflon products that people use for frying their food. And it is a maze to navigate and figure out how to avoid these things. If someone would want to really upgrade aspects of their home, can you very clearly list some things that they can go to have there? Not just the stone cups or the muffins, but what else can you do?
I can rip through some really good ones that I think are big. And they're fun too. Like if you're into cooking in nature, like moving to carbon steel, they're the best. I think there's a brand out of Finland actually. There's one out of France as well, but they're carbon steel. You're not even getting much. There's really nothing there, right? It's just steel. It's very inert. I get rid of all those pans. I use that for cooking steak and frying. And then I still use stainless steel. I'm working with some companies that are doing ceramic coatings, but none of the testing is really meeting my standard yet. So I use stainless steel for acidic things. You don't want to leave things sit in 1810 stainless because you can leach a little nickel. It's toxic. It's not good for your body in any way. There's no use for it. The levels are very low. However, if you want to get really anal, get 18-0 stainless. It's tough. But if you just switch out, get rid of all your Teflon, get rid of your plastic cutting board, tons of microplastics, all the science is showing it's a 4-point increase in heart disease now for people. Microplastics are showing up in their blood. It increases your risk of heart disease by 4.5%. NBC News is doing a big piece on this. I'm going to be the dad version. Like, how do you deal with microplastics in your home? She really liked me for that part if the story goes national. You have to be careful again if it's not solid wood, if it's treated with mineral oil. So if I order one from a wood maker, I'm like, what do you treat it with? In Finland, they're going to use beeswax. But in the US, we love mineral oil, which is a petroleum distillate. We don't want that. So if I ordered one off of Etsy and you're watching this and from the US, just tell them, hey, I just want a plain board and you can treat it yourself. I use olive oil and stuff like that. Oh, it goes rancid. I'm like, that's a little far, you know, down the road, but you can use MCT oil. You can use beeswax. You can use olive oil, avocado oil, and just don't get it with the petroleum mineral oil. Make sure it's solid. If they are gluing it, make sure they're using a non-toxic glue. There's a few out there because they can amalgamate it together and they use plastic glue and you're getting microplastics still. Switching out your cutting board, switching to stainless steel, cast iron, and carbon steel, which is my favorite. That's great for the kitchen. Turn on your fan when you're cooking. You're getting a good benzene exposure when you're cooking, plus the carbon dioxide, things like that. They usually add titanium to the stainless steel to make it a little more corrosion resistant. It's not strictly all titanium, but it's a pretty inert metal. I don't have any evidence of that either way, but I know they add it to some higher end stainless steel, they'll add titanium. I don't think in that regard, it hurts you at all. I think it's pretty bound inside the metal. If it's a titanium coating to make it non-stick, I couldn't speak to that.
Some good tips right there about ventilation while you cook. And I guess, would you use electric stove or gas stove? Or
I like my gas stove. Electric stove is going to have electric fields, right? I prefer gas with the window open and my vent on. You know, that's what I like. It's funny, in America, we're so polarizing with, you know, gas versus electric and sustainability. It's funny watching everybody fight, but the reality is energy is energy and at all costs. And you need to use it wisely, just like our own personal energy. We just shouldn't waste energy. You shouldn't leave hot water on. It's not just a cost. It's a cost to the environment. It's a cost to the world. And it's just a waste. Having conversations, negative conversations, toxic mindset, one of my pillars, it's just a big old waste of your energy. You could be using that energy of talking negatively about someone, which isn't helping them and is definitely destroying you, to make some switches in your home and stop making some excuses as to why you can't do something. Method for success or an excuse for failure. That's why I think the mindset, I keep going back to nature and getting connected. When you're there, it's easier to make some of these. There's no reason you should get overwhelmed. There really isn't. You're not going to die. Today's today. Tomorrow's tomorrow. You can make better decisions each and every day. You can look through the major toxins in your life. I have a list. I want cleaner water. Our hose systems may even have nanoplastics in it now. I'm like, oh shit, you know, I'm going to have to figure that out. And so you just make a list and you enjoy it. And it's like, I want to save up and buy a water system. I want to save up and buy one of those great fans that have a big carbon block in it and a great HEPA filter and a sealed no VOC motor. And they're $1,500. That's expensive. But you put these on your goal. And is that bringing me closer to God, to nature? Is it making my body more connected? I'm like, yes, that's a great investment. That's better than going on vacation. That's better than buying a new car, right? When you're making these decisions, you don't get overwhelmed. You make them because they're fun and they're the right things to do. And I think the mindset around that is so important in biohacking, because we don't want to make this religious that we have to do the things, we get to do these things. And sometimes it's what we need to stop doing to make time, space, energy, and bandwidth to make decisions that are better for ourselves, better decisions that so we can love ourselves and know that we're brilliant, know that we're kind, know that we're loving. We forget about that because we're stuck over here judging and blaming and talking about this politician and that politician and this biohacker who believes in this and this biohacker who believes in that, and they're full of shit and I know more than that person. What a waste of freaking time. Focus on you, get healthy, make decisions that are bringing you closer to nature and closer to God. That's how I look at these things in our homes. Gas stoves, definitely use your fan. That's a big one.
I think the investment side here is key. If you are going primarily by price, get the cheapest plastic thing first. It's going to actually wear out much more quickly. Your Teflon pan is going to be no use very quickly, gets easily damaged. And it's all just poor quality. It's not going to last. Your wooden cutting board can be used for, like, you can probably donate that for generations, and plastic one won't last. That's one thing. You have to buy a new one and a new one and a new one in the future. And the biggest cost is to your health. Actually damage your health in the process. It's important to invest in quality. It's important to invest in your own health by optimizing your environment. I think probably one of the best investments I've done, or for any home, is to get a HEPA filter, because every time you open it up and you look at the filter and you're, whoa, that's a lot of shit right there. Here's a hook. If you don't have a filter, you become a filter, right? So that's pretty much it. You have to filter out these things, or your lungs and your system and eventually immune system will become the one that needs to fight off whatever is coming in. And going through the list of things that you can do. You mentioned your car. You mentioned kitchen. We've been talking about water filtration, all of that. What could you do to your car? Could you use some device inside the car? Is there some technologies to reduce the exposure to these things if you really want that car with those flame retardants?
Yeah, there's like 1,000 different off-gassing chemicals. It's really shitty and there's no regulation. So when you buy a new car, you're buying a toxic bomb. You're going to have elevated everything in your blood. So it's super freaking nasty. Do not buy a new car. They're still off-gassing at 4 years, right? I think it's like 8 years is where the levels start to get like non-detect. So buy used. If you buy new, the solution to pollution is dilution. What I do, I have bought new cars. I'll leave it at the dealership. I personally don't, but my wife likes, I could care less. She likes nice cars. I cook it. I tell the dealership, I'm spending money on a car. I want you to put it there, leave it inside, turn it on, run with the heaters and just like off gas it for a month. They think I'm weird. They think I'm crazy. Like, you want to sell the car? I'll even pay you. Like, it's not worth the health. And don't use ionizers because that can make the VOC smaller and more toxic to your lungs and your body. So you don't want to do that. But heating things up, infrared light, because that heats up the structure and it causes the molecules to move and you can off gas stuff and speed it up. And then when you do get a new car or when you get it back and you can cook it outside yourself, you can do the same thing, cook it. I used to do rounds of it, let it turn it, turn on the heater. And then before you go in, you have to open it up, turn the air conditioning on, cool it down. Because if you get in there now, you've created a big toxic bomb. So it's a lot of work. But when you're driving, you definitely want to open the windows because solution to pollution is dilution. And then you drop it down. I have a car that's 3 years old. You can still smell the chemicals, my wife's chemicals in her car. And you put a baby in there that is a filter and a very small filter. And you're loading that child up. Childhood cancers are through the roof.
I already see the biohackers going with their photobiomodulation red light infrared panels inside their cars and driving around. Like, that's going to look fun. But let's talk about children. You're a parent. Why are children much more easily getting reactions and getting exposed to? Why is it so important to care if you have children while these things basically 5x, 10x more to worry about stuff like this?
Now, there's two reasons for it. Their buckets are smaller, and we can talk about that. And then two, they're born in a toxic generation, and toxins definitely pass from mom to baby. It's not just alcohol from drinking and killing the mom's microbiome, the baby's microbiome. That's probably the main reason I wouldn't drink alcohol. It's pro-inflammatory, but you're destroying baby microbiome. There's studies with the BPA and umbilical cord blood, and just all the toxins are going right into baby. There was just a study that I read about this. But so babies are being born and they already have a small bucket. And if you look at any of the studies, when it comes to EMF, when it comes to toxins, little animals, rats, like, it's really easy to give them cancer because they're smaller. You want to give a rat cancer, give it a pesticide, and then you can do your study. They need a much smaller dose to cause dysfunction and disease, hormone dysregulation, you name it. So they're very, very sensitive, where when you get older, I'm storing toxins in my fat, my body. It's another reason you can gain weight. Your body's actually protecting yourself. And then you go keto and start exercising, you get sick again because the fat was actually protecting you. It's your body's adapting all the time. So babies, for two reasons: the size, dose response is an issue, and their buckets. So smaller bucket, it can overflow, causing disease. You know, those are the two reasons that you got to be very careful. And as a parent, you know, we use modern convenience. We're overwhelmed. We're storing their breast milk in plastic. It's tough. You got to store it in glass. There's companies are contacting me all over the place. I'm not promoting any companies currently, and I'm investigating a lot of them, but there's like stainless steel, you know, for breast pump cups. It's going straight to glass and you're not using even silicone, because fats and silicone, it's another potential release of siloxanes. The babies are being born toxic, and then they have a smaller bucket and they're being filled up. They can fill up a lot more quickly and they're a lot more sensitive, both hormonally, brain. And for example, there's another big one, lead. I think the absorption rate is 8 times in a child's gut for lead. A small amount of lead, to me, I can pass some of it along, but it's going to be like an 8 times absorption of lead. If a child is taking a supplement that has herbs that are, depending on where you're from, the amount of lead, or they're eating chocolate, which is loaded with lead because the cacao tree sequesters and pulls heavy metals out of the ground and concentrates it. And then the drying process also does it, the cadmium, and then you're giving your kids a lot of chocolate. They're absorbing that lead. It's causing all kinds of neurodeficiencies and health challenges. So we have to be careful with our children, especially because the dose response is, they're so much more sensitive.
It's basically their gut lining has not developed yet fully. And also the blood-brain barrier. You don't want to get this stuff into your brain. And so you spoke about the fat protecting us, it's stored. And when you go in this kind of diet where you lose a lot of fat and your fat percentage goes down, you release that into the bloodstream. chelation? How do you bind those things like binders? Do you personally use binders? Do you use some kind of detoxing products or whatever to pull out those things on a regular basis from your system?
Yeah, I do. I have a little protocol that I do with my infrared and my sauna, getting up the temperature, releasing mercury. So I'm taking a zeolite. There's only two that aren't loaded with heavy metals on the planet. You got to be careful with zeolites. And then before I start my sauna, 15 minutes before, I'll take a whole bunch of carbon. This carbon also has clean zeolite in it and apple fiber and things that bind bile. Then afterwards, I'll do a coffee enema or I'll take a suppository to dump my bile and catch it in that catcher's mitt. It's funny, the binder concept, you know, I'm not going to take full credit for it, but no one was using carbon to bind biotoxins. And we were using cholestyramine in our clinics and with our doctors, and they'd have to get scripts and medical doctors involved and all that. I'm a big believer in clean carbon. I like organic carbon. Bamboo carbon is really good. It has really good absorption. But really what you want it to do is bind fats. Carbon does not bind heavy metals. I'm so sick of hearing that. It bind a VOC, it'll bind a benzene, but it's not going to bind a heavy metal significantly in any way, but it will bind the bile. And I read a study out of Italy. I had university access, interesting story. And I found this study out of Italy where they had a drug that lowered cholesterol and it was carbon. So I'm like, wow. And its mechanism of action was binding bile. So I'm like, wow, this is before Dave Asprey was using carbon, anyone was using carbon. I'm like, we can use this natural binder instead of cholestyramine, which is a plastic resin that binds bile and lowers your cholesterol. This stuff lowers cholesterol. Mechanism of action is the same. We start testing it and we're lowering C4A complement immune system results by removing these biotoxins because 30% of the population can't even get rid of them. And if you're living in mold, you're filled with them and they just keep circulating through the hepatic biliary recirculation pathway. A lot of biohackers know about this. Liver dumping at night. I take carbon before bed. Helps me sleep. It's a great hack. But I knew about that hack way before it became a biohacking thing. So I love the catcher's mitt in your gut before you dump your bile. So you take the carbon 15 minutes or so before you go in, 30 minutes, get it hot as you can. You would know from being raised on saunas. You get that high temperature, you're pushing the heavy metals into your bloodstream. There's science on that at the mercury. You're taking a blood binder, like a great, safe, clean zeolite, nano zeolite. And so I'm catching those. Then I get out either coffee enema to dump it, or I take little caffeine suppositories, organic coffee suppositories. And then I love that hack. And I feel amazing when I do that. If I'm doing that twice a week, and if I'm doing hyperbaric, I'm a hyperbaric fan, twice a week, I really feel massive difference, better sleep quality. So that's one way. I love binders. I take binders before bed. If you give me one product, give me binders for me.
Let's talk about detoxing with sauna. Your skin is your largest organ, and it's an important detoxification pathway through sweating. That's why it's important to exercise for detoxing. It's important to sweat. And sweat bathing has been medical treatment in ancient Greece even, back in the days. And sweat bathing was banned across Europe as pagan and filthy and something that doesn't take you closer to God, by the way. That's where the church made a huge mistake. It did survive in the north and some parts of Europe, but mainly in the northern Europe and Finland. And that's kind of the traditional Finnish sauna, where you have a stove. You have usually a source of fire or high energy source. I don't think an electric stove is a good choice. Personally, I like fire. I like the natural component. I like the negative ions, all of that stuff. I mean, of course, it does affect a little bit the air quality, but there's just something about fire that you can't replace with electricity. But it's good for sweating. It's good for, I would say, more like a cardiorespiratory medicine. While infrared hot rooms or saunas, you can maybe say in common language, infrared works differently. The wavelengths penetrate deep into the tissue and they make you sweat much more than a traditional Finnish sauna, a dry sauna, where you usually throw water on the stones. And through the humidity, you increase your respiration. But with an infrared sauna, you actually activate something called lipolysis. You actually mobilize fat tissue. And that's where you do release some of those toxins into your bloodstream. And that's why binders with an infrared works great. And it's actually a much more effective protocol for detoxing than a traditional Finnish sauna. Traditional Finnish sauna is better for that exercise mimetic. It's like mimicking exercise, moderate exercise, while infrared is great for the detox effect. But yeah, I'm also a big fan of different kind of binders to use. And also maybe some specific teas might be good to combine with that to increase urination as well, like a diuretic. And your digestive system, because you're a hollow tube, so your skin is your largest organ, but if you look at it, you're also a tube from the inside, and your digestive system is a huge agent that dictates what gets through. That's why it's important to fix your leaky gut if you want to reduce your exposure to heavy metals and all these toxins. But the other thing is also that's where you want to bind things. If you mobilize things in your system, you want to use binders also internally. You can use carbon and many other choices here. Even in food, I like to use seaweeds with seafood. If I'm having fish or something, I usually want to have some seaweed with it because it tends to bind greens, tend to bind also these heavy metals and help secrete those from the body through the stool. Do you have any other tips or tricks to share on this topic?
Yeah. Yeah, detoxification, we kind of hit the easy ones, the sauna, the sweating, the more we can get into the products and glutathione. I personally have got the metals out through binders, sweating, movement, lymphatic, sunshine, getting into nature, lowering my oxidative stress by grounding and doing it that way. There's lots of great products out there. There's C60 is another binder, binds differently than carbon. There's a lot of good binders out there. That's what's worked really well for me. Early on, I had a script for DMSA, DMPS, which are double Krabcoff thiol group, HS group binders. There's an HS on each end, and say mercury fits better with the DMPS, and then lead's a little bigger atomic weight. I've used those. I think those are great. They're harsher, but I think they do have value. I still do around a year. And it took me years, but that was something that moves out quite a bit fast. So if you're really poisoned, you just gotta take it every 4 hours if it's DMSA, because you got to keep it up on your bloodstream. You know, it's like hitting your body with a sledgehammer versus, you know, gently sweeping up some dust every once in a while. So it's not a low and slow, it's hard and fast, but there's a time and a place for it. You know, for certain individuals, it I would say DMSA really helped me a lot, and DMPS as far as other binders that are out there. Actually, when we lost DMSA, we stopped saying chelation because we were getting in trouble. And so we started using the word binder back in 2009, 2010, just to get rid of regulation, because we're allowed to say the word binder. You say the word chelation on website, you get in trouble because that's a medical procedure. I don't know if I originated the word binder, probably not, but we definitely have used that in training doctors to say binders versus using the word chelation, because that's dangerous stuff when it comes to regulation.
I guess with those stronger interventions, you want to make sure what you're targeting, because you're also pulling out other things, right? You're actually binding with a lot of these things, not just the heavy metals, but also essential useful minerals. When you're doing a protocol where you are detoxing yourself, it's important, in my opinion, to do the necessary tests, blood tests, hair tests, whatever, to figure out your current levels and urine tests, and then getting into these protocols to target specifically and also measure that you have reached your goal. And you can definitely get rid of lead and mercury and all of these things, but you have to watch some of the key minerals, selenium and things that are depleted.
Selenium and molybdenum are two that you really got to watch out for when you're doing that. Those two can get low and actually make you feel like shit. You got to be careful there. And then the other, like the science behind that, when you start pulling heavy metals off of a cell, you create mineral gapping. It's sitting in a spot where a magnesium should be while you pull out the lead. And now your body has to put a magnesium, which should be there. Now you're depleting yourself in magnesium. Now you become magnesium deficient. That's a bad one, right? For your nervous system, sleep, energy, mitochondria, like all of it.
Lesson here is that when you're detoxing, you should maybe supplement a little bit more magnesium, selenium, these kind of things. We have covered a lot of ground when it comes to detoxing your home and looking at the food and environment, going into the invisible level of these things, and then finally kind of biohacking it with testing and different compounds and protocols and all of that. Now, this is an important topic. It is the awareness around even things like mold is just increasing. Mihaela Pedersen has a website, by the way, for detoxing from mold. Their family, Jordan Pedersen, Mihaela, they had massive issues with mold toxicity, and they have a pretty good website where they've been gathering information about this. I recommend people to check that one out as a resource as well. What else would you point people towards if they want to get started and know everything about detoxing themselves? In addition, of course, to going to Non-Toxic Dad's website and signing up on your newsletter and reading your blog, which I checked has a lot of great articles, and your Instagram as well.
I mean, education when it comes to detoxification. I'm a scientist, so I dig for my own stuff. And personally, I have connections to the university, so I don't read abstracts. I pull down full papers. Don't believe me or just my website. I think when you have an area of interest, of concern as you're moving, whether you're just starting your biohacking journey or your health journey, I think you're a great resource. I am a great resource. Tim the Biohacker is a great resource, who's probably a friend of yours. You know, Exiled Medic, he's pretty great when it comes to natural stuff, and he has super snappy viral videos. So there's lots of these influencers out there. Khan, he does really science-based stuff. And some of us, you know, do the same things. But there's some, what you really want to see when you're digesting information, whether it's mine or someone else's, is to really see, is there some legitimacy? And don't trust them. Trust yourself. Know that you're brilliant. I know you don't have time to do it, but if it's one thing a week, like I'm going to deep dive and see if Warren's full of shit when it comes to these siloxanes. So I'm going to go off and check it out before I make this big decision to wipe this out, and just spend a half hour doing that. Get off your phone, do that instead. My charge wouldn't be just like to look at me and these other influencers, but as you make your list, watch my Instagram and you see all the things that I'm talking about. Some of them are funny, but a lot of them are easily researched. And I think the most toxic thing that we're doing, and I highly doubt any of the biohackers on this call are doing it or watching this, is fragrances. Those things are so loaded with chemicals. It would be the one thing that pisses me off the most, that if we still allow in our lives, that they're still even allowed. They are Givaudan, which is the largest multi-billion dollar flavoring company. They also probably do fragrances because they're designed to stimulate your brain, get you addicted, get you to come back for more, to buy more. They're putting them in deodorants, they're putting them in boxes, they're putting them in plastic bags and garbage bags to trick you into buying them. It's like, you know, you can't just put that chip down. That's a chemical cocktail, just like a fragrance, to get you addicted. If it's not real food, don't freaking eat it. If it's not one ingredient, there's great influencers out there that just hammer that. Don't eat that shit. There's this one dude that just drops F-bombs. It's like, you're freaking stupid. Sugar's poison, you know? Get back to nature, mother. You know, it's like, I love that there's these different influencers that have these different avenues that really bring light. And the answer is get back to nature. If it's not a flower that works with your neurology to bring you happiness versus a toxic fragrance in your deodorant, in your bounce sheets, in your freaking cleaners, and it's total bullshit. It's a volatile organic compound. It's carcinogenic. There's so much research on it. Even researchers call it notorious. The researchers are using words like notorious fragrances because they're that poisonous to our bodies. So I'll leave you on that one, because I just think that's a huge biohack. If you want to optimize your brain and you're just starting this journey and you want your brain to come back online, get rid of those pro-inflammatory, neuroinflammatory fragrances. You can tell I get pretty pissed about this one.
That is a great, absolutely great point. The fragrance industry, and it's also added into laundry detergent. And basically, you want to get good stuff and use that to your advantage, like non-flavor, everything.
You can make your own laundry detergent. I have free recipes and books, and I'm coming out with a book, and there's tons of recipes in there, publishing here soon. So you can get a copy of that in a couple months. Just look at all the major things that you do on a daily basis. Alcohol, if I'm drinking that's going to biohack your body. If using toxic fragrances like Tide and Tide Pods that have microplastics amongst petrochemicals and volatile organic compounds and benzenes and toluenes, and just soap made from nature, made from plant, right? Done, fixed, you know, laundry room, kitchen. We already talked about that. Personal care. It's like, okay, my deodorant, I shouldn't be stinky anyway because I'm sick and toxic and my microbiome's off, so I reek. You know, start detoxing using a clay-based baking soda / jojoba oil, something with a little bit of essential oil, till you work through to a point where you won't need deodorant because your microbiome will get there. Don't wash your hair with shampoo. No need. You really don't need it. Like all of those things we think that we need and you don't. You have itchy scalp and you have dry scalps because you're freaking washing off your natural oils every day. Like why would you want to do something that's not with nature, right? And another biohack, and I'm getting into some cool stuff. My brain's coming online. Using phosphatidylcholine, using good fats to heal the cell membrane. I just talked to a scientist that has this meat screen and it wasn't even about his thing, but what he found with aging and the cell and mitochondria, what he found was the integrity of the cell membrane being one of the greatest tools for anti-aging. If you have a good, healthy cell membrane and mitochondrial function, which makes sense. Getting the good fats, 4-to-1 ratio, mega grass-fed meat. Like there's reasons if we're eating in line with nature and how nature is connected to us, we create these beautiful cell membranes. It kicks off toxins and it's just wonderful. That's another great hack is to when you're eating organic food and the right fats, you're healing your cell membranes and good things are coming in and bad things are going out. You're creating cellular fluidity and that's important for detoxification.
Precisely. Thank you so much for all these additional tips and tricks. I'm pretty sure we could keep on talking hours about all the ways how people can avoid. We didn't even touch toothpaste and fluoride, but let's leave that. And that's being spoken a lot about as well. Now, I think it's like a 20-80 thing, like in terms of getting the results of health and wellness in your life, is to figure out the bottlenecks. If you have heavy metal poisoning, all the biopsy do is probably not going to get you anywhere. Maybe the infrared sauna, but in a sense, finding out if you're exposed, cleaning up your home and making sure you have daily foundations in place, whatever your lifestyle is, whatever you repeatedly do. Are you the filter or are other things filtering? Have you removed the sources of toxic exposure from your immediate environment? Are you aware of all these things that are affecting your health, your respiratory system, your cardiovascular system, your hormones, your fertility? We didn't even touch that, but that's a big one. And in the end, your mood and consciousness and state of being. And that's why detoxing yourself is so important. And maybe making a little social media detox and shutting off that Instagram for a while would be probably good for your brain and health as well, occasionally. But it's so hard to do nowadays. But at least we can keep the phone out from the bedroom. That is the off limits. So thank you so much. Can you say your website again and your Instagram account?
All things non-toxic dad, Instagram, you know, TikTok, all social, and then nontoxicdad.com. I have the only shameless plug that I'll make is I have a docuseries coming out with Pedram Shojai, the urban monk. He's a pretty big force in education and conscious decision-making in the world, conscious capital. There's lots of different docuseries and movies. And we came together to create Homesick Home because I really think now, post the challenges we've had in the last 4 years, I won't even name them, there's so much more awareness when it comes to health and a healthy home. And I believe that having a healthy home is really important if you want to get well, if you want to optimize your health. You got to start in your home because it's a source, like you said, if you have mold, it's going to be really tough to biohack. You can eat clean and perfect and do all these things. It's just you can't get over the hump. And so this docuseries, Homesick Home, is launching May 1st, homesickhome.com. It'll be free. It's going to be educational. We go through all the stories like that one website that you mentioned and these people that are sick and didn't know why they're sick and they find out that it's mold or the dog got cancer because of bad wiring because there was a massive magnetic field and just really talking about how these toxins affected these people's lives and what they did to get well. And then, we get into the home products and I talk about air quality here and toxic air quality, Salt Lake City, we get this nasty inversion. So that'll be a great educational piece for everyone. So thanks again. This has truly been an honor. I want to corner you. I wish I had a podcast. I'd be picking your brain for ages. There's so much in there and it's really locked in. I'd love to talk to you more.
Yeah, you definitely should come over to Biker Summit. It's our 10th anniversary in Helsinki in July. It's great. And it is a concentration of some of the wildest and most brilliant behavioral, dietary, and technological, as well as mindset, virtuality, even biohackers who are really pushing the boundaries of what it means to be healthy and aligned and in harmony with nature. And the theme is unifying nature, science, and technology. We bring nature big time into it. I've always in these 10 years, I've spoken about that biohacking is better living through science, technology, and nature. And I think the nature component is so important. And as much as we biohack our homes, we have to learn to spend more time in nature. You just feel different when you are sleeping outside, grounding, and you're hunting or finding your own food, you're cooking it, and you're detoxing off your mind of all the Western problems we have, modern man's problems, including toxic homes. And I appreciate that you love the same stuff, would love to go hiking with you someday, perhaps in a Finnish pure nature.
Amen, brother. I've decided to claim my Italian citizenship, so I'm going to be spending more time, you know, overseas in the future, because Italy has some really good organic food and they're still connected to nature when it comes to their food, at least. I'm thinking ahead, brother.
And biohacking is definitely growing in Europe. I just came from the first biking conference in Italy, in Rome, actually. It was pretty great. And Italians are so crazy about their food quality. It's incredible. But it's still something that was being taken over by the industry, and a lot of small players are being pushed out or bought and taken into this toxic machinery that feeds us. We have to also, if we want to detox ourselves, we need to also be aware where we put our money. So buying from small suppliers, directly from farmers, directly from producers. And we all have to carry the responsibility ourselves by putting our money where our mouth is.
Do you have some regenerative farmers speaking at your event?
There is definitely some very, very interesting people when it comes to nature connection. And there is a woman who is an elder in the Hopi indigenous people, who is a guardian of water and has basically worked for protecting our environment for her life, and is one of the 13 grandmother elders and people that are in Biker Summit. And there is one gentleman who basically collects all of his, like one of the top foragers, and I've never seen as healthy elder. He looks so young. He looks, he's in his 40s and he's in his 70s or something like that. And it just shows on people who are nature connected. I saw an incredibly funny and genius video on Instagram one day. I don't remember what account, but it was an African tribe member who was looking at the interviewer doing his podcasting, and the guy had this kind of synthetic fabric on him. And he said that, you are doing witchcraft on your body. Why are you doing it? And he was advocating that he would never live in a city, even if given the option, because it's toxic. That was a tribe member from the savannah, from Africa. Yeah, we are so far from what real nature is.
Mind-blowing.
In any case, I welcome everyone to Biker Summit in Helsinki, Finland in July. And check out Non-Toxic Dad on Instagram and his website. And let's get started on this non-toxic life and journey together. Thank you very much, Warren Phillips.